Hi, everyone, and welcome to a special anniversary episode of KleptoCast, the podcast series from the Hudson Institute's Kleptocracy Initiative. My name is Casey Michelle, and today I'll be speaking with Will Fitzgibbon. Will is a reporter with the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, also known as the ICIJ, where he heads the organization's Africa desk. Will has also worked with the Bureau of Investigative Journalism in London, and his work has appeared in outlets like The Guardian and The Observer. Now, if you're familiar with the ICIJ, it may have something to do with the Panama Papers leak, which took place 1 year ago this month, and which Will has worked extensively on over the past year. So, Will, it's great having you with us today. Before delving into all the developments we've seen in the world of offshoring over the past year, could you give us just a broad overview of what exactly the Panama Papers were, what they revealed, and maybe who some of the major players involved were?
Sure, Casey, and it's good to be here. Thanks for having me. The Panama Papers refer to 11.5 million documents that come from or came from a law firm with its headquarters in Panama, but with offices around the world that specialized in creating offshore companies for wealthy individuals, for politicians, and for corporations. The reason why Panama Papers may now be a familiar name to some of your listeners is that it was an investigation that revealed hundreds of politicians who in many cases had secret wealth hidden offshore. It revealed the use of offshore companies and shell companies by criminals, by people who'd been convicted of fraud, corruption, and bribery, and by other criminals convicted of drug trafficking and even alleged to have been involved in terrorist financing.
Okay. And so given some of your, or given your prior work as an investigative journalist and in dealing with everything that the Panama Papers revealed a year ago, what were for you some of the biggest takeaways from the leak in and of itself, either in terms of people involved or maybe just the breadth and magnitude of the actual revelations?
I certainly think one of the big takeaways for me was just how global the use and misuse of this kind of secretive world is. I think what surprised many journalists and members of the public was how politicians from clean little old Iceland used offshore companies to relatives of President Assad in Syria, for example. And it really struck me that no corner seemed to be untouched by revelations, and also that very few corners of the world seemed to be untouched by the feeling of outrage that accompanied it. I think Panama Papers rode on a wave and tapped into a long building sense of inequality and frustration by many people that this secretive offshore financial universe that most of us don't have the means or desire to participate in still functions to the benefit of people who should know better, or at least should be kept better tabs on.
So in terms of policy shifts we've seen over the past year, it seems that the revelations had at least significant reverberations, at least in Europe and in European jurisdictions. Are there any policy shifts that we've seen that stand out to you as notable or noteworthy? And then, I guess, as a related question, are there any developments you saw tied to the Panama Papers revelations that were surprising or perhaps unexpected?
So you're right that there was pretty impressive, at least rhetorical, response to Panama Papers at a number of governmental levels. By our count, there were at least 150 different kinds of inquiries or audits or probes by parliaments, by judges, by police across the world following the Panama Papers reporting. For me, I think some of the most important changes have been legislative ones or regulatory ones in places like Panama, that after years saying that it wasn't a source of concern, finally signed up to a few international tax information sharing treaties and otherwise cleaned up its image. And that's also been a phenomenon seen in other tax havens such as Lebanon. At the same time, though, there's awareness that I and many people have about these announced reforms by national governments. You know, tax avoidance and offshore abuses is something of an easy target for governments of all political and ideological stripes to jump on, right? It's a popular topic for reform. I think what we've seen in some cases is a willingness to talk the talk, but not necessarily walk the walk. So we and others will certainly be keeping an eye on what parliaments in Europe, even what the European Union itself does, for example, to really crack down on the kinds of abuses that we saw facilitated through the Panama Papers documents.
Now, you've also been following closely the developments surrounding the actual Panamanian law firm in question, Mossack Fonseca. Without getting too into the weeds, could you share some of the developments we've seen take place for Mossack Fonseca, including some of the higher-ups at the law firm over the past year?
Sure. So the firm, we know, has since shut, I think, nearly 10 of its offices in different countries across the world. We also know that, somewhat surprisingly, in February this year, so nearly a year after the reports first came out, Panamanian authorities detained the two founders of the firm, who are still in detention. Now, they are being detained for reasons unrelated to Panama Papers, but related to another ongoing bribery and corruption scandal that's sweeping South America, known as Lava Jato. But it does show you that there is an incredible amount of attention being paid to that one law firm, all the time remembering that this is one law firm out of very many who are involved in this industry.
Right. You know, you mentioned just a moment ago that some of the jurisdictions affected or in question have talked the talk, not necessarily walked the walk. And one that comes to at least my mind is one close to home, the U.S., which doesn't seem to have seen many certainly policy changes on the ground over the past year, especially in comparison to other European jurisdictions. Why do you think we've seen such a little shift here in the U.S. over the past year?
Well, you're right that there were certainly at least promising signs made at the beginning. President Obama addressed the Panama Papers. The Senate Banking and Finance Committee reached out to some entities, including banks, to try and get further information. We know the very day that Panama Papers came out, former New York Attorney General Preet Bharara contacted ICJ about what they called a criminal inquiry that related to Panama Papers. Unfortunately, at least from a journalistic perspective, getting information out of America relating to the Panama Papers has been a bit like drawing blood from a stone, and it's been very difficult to find out what, if anything, has been ongoing. I think that's due to a number of factors. First of all, as many people noticed, the Panama Papers had no extremely high-profile American in the political sphere, as many other countries did. And that is not because American politicians don't use offshore, but because they presumably use other offshore law firms. So I think that perhaps dulled any political momentum that we saw, for example, sweep through other European nations. We have been assured that, and we believe that many American initiatives are ongoing. There was talk about the U.S. Department of Justice having met with Panama's prosecutor recently to discuss Panama Papers, but again, no public information on that has been made available. And I also wouldn't underestimate the importance that this kind of leak and this shockwave to the offshore and financial system has on actors such as banks and lawyers. One of the less public outcomes of this kind of project, I think, may be taking place is that these intermediaries such as banks and law firms and accountants are less willing to get their hands dirty in the offshore world as they might have been previously for fear of the next leak when it comes along.
Interesting. Okay. So as just a final question for you, Will, now that we're 1 year on from the Panama Papers revelations and understanding full well that prediction may be a fool's errand, are there any policy shifts or notable changes in the world of offshoring that you think we may see over the coming year?
I think we should definitely watch this space for the ongoing debate about beneficial and public ownership registries, especially in Europe, but also at an international level. There's increasing momentum behind that. I see that the United Kingdom just this week, I think, launched a public discussion paper on that very topic. I also think that at an international level, there will be increasing pressure on the remaining holdouts, them mainly being tax havens who haven't yet agreed to participate in multilateral information sharing between countries, so that when, for example, the United States suspects that one of its citizens has undeclared assets offshore, they can more easily request that information on a citizen from an offshore jurisdiction. We might see tax havens more willingly submit to this kind of global standard now.